The scripture reading for this morning will be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 to 18, and I'll be reading from the NIV version. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and death in Christ will rise first. After that, we are still alive and are left with, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words.
And we want to say thank you to the state of Texas. Thank you for sending John and Sharon back home to us. And thank you for bringing Mike back. The state of Texas has been a blessing to us by sending loved ones home, and it's just great to see you guys. We've missed you. And we sent Mike to bring you back, and he's been there for months, and it just took him a long time, I guess, to find you. But it's so good to see you all. We've missed you, and it's such a blessing to have you back. And Mike, you know those elders' dinners we have every Tuesday night? The next 7 or 8 are on you, so just we have been keeping track. Just want you to know that. We're going to be continuing with our series on the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit next Sunday. Just events of this past week have kind of put something different in my mind today that I'd rather talk about and just share with you for a few moments today. I just want to say a few words about hope. We said goodbye to several people in our own family here, our congregation, this year already. In our own families, that's been multiplied as well. When we look at the friends that we have, there's just been a lot of losses. And beyond that, we're all facing challenges of one kind or another in our life. All of us do. Everything from financial difficulties to family problems and everything in between. Illnesses, you name it, you know what I'm talking about. And when you bring that out to our extended families and our friends, the list grows even longer. On Sunday nights when we take prayer requests, we always have several people and friends that we lift up to the Lord in prayer. And then we get our emails during the week. We're so grateful for those to continue to remember prayer things, requests that have come up during the week. And we look at the lists on our bulletin, and we realize our prayer lists are so very full. On a larger scale, we look at the world around us, and doesn't it just seem like we moved from one incident to another recently of tragedy and terror and loss and death and innocents being killed in war-torn countries and famine and so many issues that people face. And when we look around our world, we recognize the fact that there is a great deal of despair. There are people who are in despair. People are desperate for hope. There is nothing more difficult or painful than to face such events in your life without hope. One of the saddest descriptions of people in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, it's really talking about us before we knew Christ. Paul says they were without hope and without God in this world. What could be more bleak than that? To say that an individual has no hope and has no God in their life in this world. That there is no hope. But we, of course, are not without hope because we're not without God, and God is the source of our hope. And we thank God for bringing hope into our lives, because we know even as we face some of these things that assail us in life, whether it's just problems in general or illness or treatments or death or loss of all sorts, we know somehow these things are intruders. They don't really belong. It's not the way God originally planned for our life with Him to be. It's a result of sin and other things that have come about in this world. And we know that despair is not the final word, because God is moving to work through these things and to work beyond these things to bring about a new reality. God has a word beyond despair. God's word, of course, is hope. God is a God of hope. Now, the thing about hope is this. It doesn't cure the disease. It doesn't take away your family problem. It doesn't solve the issue that you're facing. It doesn't take away all of the heartache in the world. Hope doesn't do that. But hope changes everything nonetheless, because hope begins by giving us such a very different perspective through which we view all of the events of this world in our life. And hope makes an amazing impact. Our hope, and as we talk about our hope today, it reminds us of what's real and what's eternal and what's temporary. It reminds us of the power of God to be at work in all sorts of situations. Our hope takes us beyond this world and beyond all the heartaches of life on this earth into a relationship and fellowship with God that's eternal and one of blessing and one of peace. Hope reminds us of where God's taking the world, and that He's taking all of this in a way that will bring about glory to Him and bring about fellowship between God and His people. When you think about the hope that we have, the nature of our hope, it isn't just wishful thinking. Our hope isn't just some naive, well, wouldn't it be nice if things were different or if things were better? Our hope is based on the promises of God. God has said some things to us. That's why we have hope. It's because of what God has told us and His promises. Paul speaks in Colossians 1:23 about the hope held out in the gospel that you heard. The message of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ coming to die for us, to take away our sins, to bring us back into a relationship with God. This is a message of hope. We have heard a message of hope from God in Jesus Christ that we haven't dreamed up. It's based on the testimony of God Himself. And this is the source of our hope today, the promises that God has made to us. And if that were it, if it were just the Word of God alone, if all we had for the basis of our hope was God had said something, then that would be enough, wouldn't it? That'd be enough for us, because we trust the Word of God. We would believe the Word of God. That would be enough for us. But our hope rests on even more than just the words that God has said, as certain as those words are, because our hope is rooted in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. The good news of the gospel, at least one aspect of it, of course, is the tomb is empty. The tomb of Jesus is empty. Life rises up out of death. Joy follows sorrow. Suffering has purpose and meaning and will be followed by the glory that God brings to those who suffer faithfully. If the tomb is empty, then everything is possible. The empty tomb makes our hope certain, because it's based on the fact that Jesus, who died for us, who was crucified for us and shed His blood for us, was raised from the dead and lives forever and stands today before the throne of God on our behalf. Our hope is rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's why we can face the unknown and the unseen with confidence, because our perspective has been transformed. And our hope, though rooted in an event of the past, is focused on something that's coming in the future. We're focused on the return of our Lord Jesus. A day that will be so decisive. A day that will change everything. A day that is certain because of the promises of God, and that will open up eternity for us. Paul says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, we wait for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Our hope looks to the future. Our hope looks to the day when Jesus will return to make things right, to set things straight, to finish out the will of God. It's the point in time that brings everything into clear focus and reminds us of what life is really about and what's truly important in our life. And whatever you're facing today, whatever it may be, however horrendous it may be, Jesus is coming back. The risen Lord is coming back for you. And that's going to change the way that we deal with our hurts today. Because we have a hope that's based on the promises of God, His certain word, rooted in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, focused on the return of Jesus. And we hope. What is it that we hope for? Well, we hope for that day when He returns because we believe what the Bible says about what will happen on that day, that when Jesus will return, things will come to an end just as God has said. The goodness of God is going to prevail. Injustices are going to be dealt with. God will come to rescue and redeem His people. Satan and his works will be destroyed forever. And God will bring everything into conformity with His will. That's what we're hoping for. We're longing for that day. It's going to be a day that brings about the ultimate change that we've been looking for and hoping for throughout this life. And for us, it means a hope for the resurrection of our own bodies. Our bodies, those of us who will die before the coming of the Lord, we have hope of resurrection. Paul says in Romans 8:23, we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. The redemption of our bodies. And Paul's talking here in Romans 8 about the resurrection of our own bodies. For in this hope, he says, for in this hope we were saved. In this hope, the return of Jesus and the resurrection of our bodies and eternal life. In this hope, we have been saved. God has promised to raise us up. As Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, the mortal will put on immortality. Death will be swallowed up in victory. These are the promises of God that we hope for. One day, our tomb will be empty because Jesus' tomb is empty. And God will raise us up to life. And how that puts our trials here in such a different perspective. As Paul said in Romans 8:18, he said, they're just not worth, our trials are not worth comparing to the glory that will be revealed in us. And we hope for that day. We long for that day of resurrection and a day that will bring about the consummation of eternal life for all those who are faithful to God. Peter speaks in that passage that we read a moment ago that we're born again into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, reserved in heaven for you. Eternal life in the presence of God. It's one of the great hopes that we have for a blessed future. We know those passages. They flood into our minds, don't they? No tears, no pain, no death, no evil one. God will dwell among us. We will see His face in the presence of God and the Lamb for eternity. And that changes everything about our perspective today regarding our trials, however severe they will be. They're not worth, as Paul said, comparing to that glory that will be revealed in us, that glorious reunion with God, and that eternal life that we long to enter into, that we have already, by the grace of Christ, entered into. And this hope, if you truly hope in Christ Jesus, it will change the way you live today. It will impact your life right now. Hope isn't just something that's going to happen one day. Hope changes the way you and I live today. John says in 1 John chapter 3 that when you have this hope, you're going to live a different kind of life. You're going to want to live a pure life. You want to live a life that reflects the righteousness of Jesus Christ now. And he puts it this way. He says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not been made known. But we know that when he appears, when Jesus appears, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then he says, everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. If you know that one day you are going to step into the presence of Jesus and see Him as He truly is in His holiness and purity, and that's your hope and your desire and your longing for that day, John says the natural response is you're going to want to start living that way now. You're going to want to purify your life now. You want to live a holy life. You want to live as much as you possibly can like the Lord Jesus today in this world, in this life. to stand against Satan, to stand firm in your convictions, to be a man or a woman of God, and to live a righteous life that brings honor and glory to your Savior, and do that now. And if you have hope, you want to live a pure life. It's so very true. To stand before Him. If you have that hope, it's like, Lord, I want to start being like You now. I want to start being like You as best I can, even now. To stand against Satan and to do what's right and to live as a holy people. And if that hope is true in you today, if you're truly hoping for the blessed appearing of our glorious God and Savior Jesus Christ, it will cause you to persevere. You won't give up. So many people give up. So many people start out and then don't finish. Even people who come to faith in Christ, who begin the life in Christ, and then things come along in their life, and they get discouraged or disappointed, or something happens that pulls them away from God. But when you have hope, you persevere, you endure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 2, Paul said to this church, "We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus." Here was a church that was a brand new church in its earliest days. Harsh persecution coming against them. It would have been so easy to give up. The persecution was so great, the people who planted the church within a few months have left and gone on to another place because they would have been killed, and they go on to preach the gospel elsewhere. And this struggling little church is left behind. And Paul says, "I know why you're enduring. You're enduring because of the hope that you have. You're persevering through whatever trials come. Whatever you and I face today, we persevere. We endure. We endure because of hope. Hope has the power to keep us moving forward. Jesus is coming back. And we trust in the promises of God. And we endure. And as we do so, we encourage each other to endure. We're in this together as brothers and sisters in Christ. We all have times in our life when it seems like hardship are coming more our way, and sometimes it's a brother or sister, and some people get discouraged, or some people become weak. And if you have this hope in you, if we share this hope, we encourage each other in those moments, because we don't want anyone to be left out. We don't want anyone to be left behind. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess." Hold on to it, he says. Don't let go of your hope. Keep moving forward in hope. "For he who promised is faithful." You can trust the word of God. Hold on to your hope. "Let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The writer says the day's coming. Jesus is coming back. That day is drawing near every day. So as you live your life in the church, in the community of faith, if you see somebody who needs encouraging, encourage them. If you see someone who's falling down or drifting away, go after them. Because we encourage each other to the end. We endure. We help one another. We do that every time we meet. That's one of the reasons we come together. The writer says that's why, you know, don't stop meeting together like some people, because you lose that connection. And that's, of course, about when we meet, when we assemble for worship on Sundays, on Wednesdays, anytime we can assemble together. And beyond that, even as we spend time with each other in our lives, as we grow closer to one another as friends in Christ, we see those moments. If we don't take the time to connect with one another, truly connect with each other's brothers and sisters, we don't even know when someone needs encouragement. But this hope causes us to want to encourage our brothers and sisters to keep on, to hold on, to persevere, to remember that the Lord's coming back, to remember where God is taking this world. And perhaps above all, in our hope, we find great comfort in the face of death. Jean read to us a few moments ago a passage again to the Thessalonian church. We all know this passage. It's a beautiful text because it's written to some people who are confused. They're new Christians. They don't remember everything Paul said to them, and maybe this wasn't clear when they left, but all they know is Jesus is coming back, and now people in their church are dying. People in their families are dying. They wonder what happens to those. Jesus hasn't come back yet, and we've lost people. So what's going on with them? And Paul says to them, brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who have fallen asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. To grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. You see, without hope, grief is simply despair. It's just despair. It's loss. It's the end. There's no hope. Paul says that's not the way we grieve as Christians. We don't grieve like people who don't have hope. And then he explains the basis of our hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. That's the confidence that we have. That's our hope. He goes on then to talk about the trumpet and the archangel's call and the dead in Christ rising and all of us joining the Lord in the air and being with the Lord forever, and says, comfort one another with these words. Encourage each other with these words. This is how we grieve. We grieve with a view to the resurrection and eternal life. This is how, over and over again in the life of our congregation, we go to the graveside together and we walk away with hope. We walk away with peace. We go on living faithfully. This last week, I've experienced what so many of you have already experienced in the passing of my mom. And it truly a blessing to be with her at that moment. And to think about what was happening as she took her last breath, to know by the word of Jesus Christ himself at that moment, the angels of the Father in heaven escorted her spirit into the presence of God himself. Until the day that Jesus returns and her body is redeemed from the grave and raised up, glorified, spiritual body, the perfect eternal home for her soul. And I think, what would it be like to be at that moment without hope? To have no hope. We're so blessed in Christ Jesus. What a difference hope makes in our lives. The writer of Hebrews says, this hope, it's just like an anchor for your soul. It's what gives you an ability to weather the storms and the winds and the waves. It's an anchor. It keeps you firm and steadfast. In fact, in the images of Hebrews where Jesus is the high priest before the throne of God, he says, our anchor, I mean, it goes through the curtain. It goes back behind the veil into the Holy of Holies. It goes back there to the very throne of God. Our anchor is deep in the heavens where Jesus Christ stands before the throne of God with his own blood interceding on our behalf. That's the kind of confidence that we have. That's the kind of stability we have in our lives. Because hope is the anchor of our soul. And we thank God for that hope. Anytime we gather, I know there's some among us who are struggling with our own difficulties. And there's such a variety of difficulties that we face. We want you to know if you're here today and are facing that, you don't need to face it alone. You have a church family to face that with you, to encourage you through that. If you need to share something with the family today and ask for the prayers of the church, you're more than welcome to do so. And our family certainly thanks you for the prayers that you've lifted up on our behalf and on behalf of my mom. We so thank God for that and for the support that we have in the church. It's such a blessing. Hear today the word of the Lord. Hear the certain promises of God. Remember that the tomb of Jesus is empty. He's been raised from the dead. He's coming back. He's coming back for us and to make everything right, and to bring us into eternity with him and the Father. And therein lies the basis of our hope, and that does change everything that we face today. If you're not yet in Christ, we don't want you. We were Christians here. We don't want you to leave without hope. We don't want you to be in a place without hope. And you know, our world, there's so much despair in our world. You look at our world today and the despair in it. We as Christians, we have a message of hope to take out into this world. We have people who are struggling to understand what's going on in this world and in their life. And we have a message of good news of Jesus Christ. And our hope isn't just something we sit back with and thank God for. Our hope is something we go out with and we share with people who need it so desperately, who are in despair, who need to understand what life really is all about and to point them to Jesus. And if you're among our number today and you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you believe it with all your heart. And more than that, you're ready to commit to Him as Lord. To bow before Him as your Lord and your God and your King, then you can come to Him. You can come to God through Him. Confess His name before men. Turn from the sin in your life. And be united with Jesus Christ, joined with Him, immersed with Him in baptism, to be forgiven by His precious blood, to receive the Spirit of God, and to begin living a life of hope and purpose within a family where you will find encouragement and support. If there are any today among us who need the hope of God, we invite you to come to Him. He longs to give you His hope. Let's stand and sing together.